Welcome to the Namek Podcast. This is the second episode of the Namek Podcast. I am your host, Greg Solitor, the Vice President of Namek, Minnesota. Hopefully you caught up on our first episode. That was an interview with President Todd Gatzke. And then my guest this week, I'm very pleased to have Tommy McNeil. He is the former president of Namek, Minnesota. He was the president in 2011 and 2012. In our industry, Tommy is a manager of indirect sales for Comcast in the Twin Cities region, but he's got a lot of experience beyond just indirect sales. He's got a lot of experience in our industry and has a lot of really interesting ideas on how diversity and inclusion have really impacted his career growth and how much he believes it could really impact those of our members. So before we get to our interview with Tommy, just wanted to discuss a few things. We have our cruise coming up this Wednesday. I'm recording this on Monday, so we're 48 hours away and we're very excited. It should be a lot of fun. So if you RSVP'd to the cruise, please make it out. You're going to have a blast. So next week's podcast, we're going to be doing some interviews on the cruise. So next week's podcast, our guests will actually be Namek members who are on the cruise. That should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. The week after that is the big Namek National Conference in New York City. I'll be there, and so I'll be catching up with some people from our Namek National office, as well as some people from other chapters around the country. So our guests 2 weeks from now and probably for the next few podcasts will be interviews that we do from the Namek conference, which should be great. So really looking forward to that as well. So without further ado, let's get to our guest for this week, Tommy McNeil. Now I'm joined by my guest, Tommy McNeil, who's a good friend of mine. Tommy is the reason that I'm involved with Namek the reason I'm still involved to this day. You're a big reason why. So welcome to the podcast, Tommy.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me.
So as a background, you are former president of Namek. You were president in 2011 and 2012. Mm-hmm. When I say I got involved, my first week in our industry, I came from outside of the communications industry. You welcomed me to the organization and then explained, I think I've got a group that I think could really benefit from you being involved and you could really benefit from being involved. You told me all about Namek. I was hooked right away. I've really appreciated being involved with this group. So while I've got you here, thank you very much for getting me involved.
No, thank you for participating.
Yeah. So, first of all, one thing I want to know from everybody who's a guest on here is what diversity means to you, why diversity matters to you, because that's really what Namek is all about, is getting people to understand why it's so important to have diverse teams and why a team is made stronger by diversity. So, I guess first question for you is, what is the importance of diversity for you?
Well, for me, Greg, I think diversity really means a level of empowerment, and not by gender, sexual orientation, or race, but by skill set, mindset, and other developmental opportunities. Growing up in an environment where I was limited to having a diverse group of individuals around me, I took pride as I came up and started to become involved in more of the professional and nonprofit sector, of where I was able to then contribute some of my wants and needs and aspirations of bringing a team that was diverse together, both in my professional team as well as the organization and affiliation through Namek.
So professionally, you're an indirect channel sales manager. So that means you've got employees and in some cases contractors, right, that are all around the region that all, report to you and they're selling our services. Mm-hmm. How does having different points of view on that team help you strategically build the team and make that team as strong as it can be?
Yeah, well, diversity within the organization that I oversee, we want to make sure that we're really compatible with the audience that we are obviously catering to. It's really important to being able to have a diverse group of individuals that can really relate to the community and a subscriber base that we're aiming for. And so it's really important to put people in the right elements to ensure that there's a level of comfortability and commonalities, mm-hmm, within the business that we're trying to generate from them, but at the same time that they have an opportunity to relate and close the ties of Comcast as well as what their needs are out in the community.
One of the things that I think Namek really focuses on and is an important element of diversity, Todd brought this up in our last podcast, is the inclusion piece, which is you could build a diverse team and check the box and say we're a diverse team, but if you don't actually incorporate inclusion and make inclusion a priority, you're not really doing yourself justice. You're not really doing your customers justice. So how do you take that team of yours that's spread around and make it an inclusive environment and make sure everybody's voice is heard and take advantage of the fact that those voices have different points of view?
Absolutely. I look at it, you know, inclusiveness as a level of transparency. You know, being able to be open and candid, being able to receive feedback and being able to offer recommendations and suggestions would only help the organization improve its ability to service the customers that we strive to search for and prospect for every day. Having that level of inclusion also gives a level of empowerment. People feel as if, you know, they are part of a team and they can contribute to the organization, and there's a need for them. And I pride myself on building a team that has the ability of thinking outside of the box, be willing to open up to discuss and disclose anything that's in front of mind for them, and to know that we're willing to apply those, obviously their ideas and level of innovation to our day-to-day business. And I think that empowerment gives us the ability to grow as an organization.
I think the word empowerment's, it really is what I take from that, which is no matter where you are on the team, you could be brand new to the team, you could be a frontline employee, you could be a, you know, frontline leader level or in management, but the ideas that you bring to the organization that can help that organization succeed, it doesn't matter where you are in the organization, you need to be empowered to be able to bring those good ideas forward and bring the organization forward.
Absolutely.
I think that's what good leaders do.
Absolutely. I think a good leader honestly can say that they don't know everything, you know, but they're willing to build a team around them that have some of the answers or can potentially produce some of the answers that's needed to drive the business forward. And being a leader is just being a visionary and understanding that, you know, having folks that are empowered to help make decisions, you know, makes the business run more efficiently. It allows them to be developed quicker. And allow the business to boom at a faster pace and minimize that curve, that learning curve, as well as that business curve to continue to push the business forward.
So how did you first get involved in NAMIC, and how did you get to the point where you decided you wanted to be the president of NAMIC?
That's funny you say that. I had no idea. Just like you, I was solicited by an individual when I walked through the door. I came into Comcast in 2006. Within 2007, there was a young lady by the name of Diane Hawkins, who was the vice president at the time. I had no idea what NAMIC was and knew that Comcast was affiliated with it in any kind of way. She had the foresight to being able to tell me that I had something to contribute to the organization, and she nominated me for the vice presidency. You know, at that particular time, I didn't feel like I was ready. You know, first and foremost, I was really just trying to get my feet wet in the organization because I don't have a telco background. At least at that time, I did not. And so I really wanted to make sure that I was settled. But she said that I offer something different than what currently exists within the organization. And so in 2007, I took the vice presidency, and in 2008, I maintained that role. Within that time, I had a chance to, you know, network, build some resources, put my face out there within the organization that, one, I didn't have any visibility to in terms of the leadership as well as the cross-functional partnerships. It allowed me an avenue for all of that. And from that, I began to build a team of chairs, co-chair, committee members that helped to, you know, develop some great programming. From that second year in the vice presidency, you know, I felt like I can lead the organization. I was really encouraged by the membership for me to do so as well. And so within that, you know, I spent 2 years in the role, and that was probably one of the 2 years greatest look back of experiences that I had working for Comcast and having the ability to lead the NAMIC organization. So I'm excited about what NAMIC has done and what they continue to do in terms of the solid program that they provide, the resources that they continue to be an outlet for. And it's inspirational to see folks move on from being either leaders or members into other parts of their careers and having NAMIC pretty much in their tool belt to say that they contributed to the organization in some form or fashion.
So one of the things that NAMIC provides our members is a lot of networking opportunity, particularly with people in leadership positions. So, for example, our next event, which is our cruise, it's usually a spring event. The Mississippi River flooded, threw everything off, got pushed to September. But the whole point of the cruise is a networking environment. And one of the things that we challenge people, and we're going to challenge people on the 10th, is, you know, introduce yourself to somebody that you don't know and do a little networking. You're a sales guy. You're a very outgoing guy. Networking may come more normal, may more natural to you than other people. I might be wrong. But how do you, what would you say to that person who might be new to our organization? They might be young in their career. Networking isn't something they're comfortable doing. What advice would you give them to get started in?
You know, what I learned over the years in developing myself through mentorship and the L. Patrick Millen membership program is a great one that NAMIC definitely runs. But having mentors of my own, I've always been told that the way that you build your brand and the way that you are absolutely able to really have some form of direction is getting outside of your comfort zone. You won't grow as an individual, both personally and professionally, if you continue to stay in that box. Mm-hmm. And although it may feel a little uncomfortable for you to interact with individuals that you don't know, as you continue to do that and become more and more comfortable with that, it allows for you the ability to grow within your partnerships and your collaborations. It allows you to be able to develop by, you know, either you teaching someone else something or them teaching you something through your interactions. And I think the boat crews have always been a great one in design for that. There's a lot of mixing and matching of tables so that folks won't necessarily sit with their normal group. There's typically questions that's positioned appropriately on the cruise. And there's other games that I know that NAMIC does really well in getting folks to really kind of open up a level of discussion to find some common traits amongst each other, and which will make any individual that attend the boat cruise very comfortable in doing a little networking.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the thing that people can learn about networking is it doesn't always have to be business talk. It doesn't always have to be, you know, some of the stuff. Maybe you're not comfortable going up to a VP and talking about the business. That's okay. You and I became friends partly because we both realized we both love the NBA.
Absolutely.
So we both talk about it. We should actually do another podcast like October, an NBA preview. But because we had that thing in common. And so we got to know each other as people in addition to getting to know each other as coworkers because we had that common ground that it's something we both are passionate about. That's the advice I would give to people, too, is that it doesn't have to be business. And one of the easiest ways to walk up to somebody who maybe they're a little bit intimidating to you is to recognize, one, they're just a person. Two, they were a frontline employee at some point in their life, too. We've all been in that role. And they had people to help them along the way. And they had people that recognized their skills along the way. So you need to talk to them and get them to recognize you and get them to understand that you're somebody who cares about the business, who cares about customers, who cares about the way that we want to grow, which isn't just getting bigger, it's getting bigger the right way, getting bigger with you know, customers who care about our products and services. And that's how this industry has moved forward so much in the last several years, is those employees who find common ground with people and then can grow in their career.
Yeah.
You mentioned with NAMIC, as a vice president, you were not ready right away. That's the thing I think a lot of people who grow in their career learn is you usually aren't ready for the position you get. In a lot of cases, hiring isn't about just finding the most qualified person. It's also finding the person who's going to do the most with that position over the next several years. Mm-hmm. So it may not be the person who has the most in their past, but it's the person who has the most in their future. And you sometimes you just got to embrace the fact that I'm not ready, but I'm going to learn. I've been in that role in my career, too, where I got promoted for a job I don't know if I was ready for, and the hiring manager basically said, you're in this role because of your potential, and we think you're going to grow into it.
Absolutely.
So that's where I think NAMIC can help a lot of people in our industry. Mm-hmm. And to get back to the networking, I've kind of rambled a bit. So to get back to the networking, I think in those situations where you're ready to take a step forward in your career and you might be a little bit scared to make that jump, one of the ways to make that jump is to just get to know people and get people to know you.
Yeah, I think for me, what I've been able to achieve in my career within Comcast has only been through my ability to network and building that sense of brand, not as just a leader or have the potential to lead, but just as someone that they can relate. You know, I really consider myself, you know, a people's person. And I think a lot of folks that get into this business, may you be on the phone as a CAE who has the ability to interact with folks, or are you doing some form of XEC or retail related face-to-face interaction on the business side, talking to owners, you have the ability to interact with folks, you know, so you shouldn't limit yourself personally when you're gaining so much ground professionally. And the way to go about doing that is putting yourself in a position where you could be visible so that people can recognize you for who you are and what you have the potential to be. And the Namek Boat Cruise is one that tends to bring out a very diverse group of individuals. The leadership that comes, you would come to realize, is very inclusive. They are open to have dialogue around everything from the business to their kids to what's going on with you. So it's a real good opportunity to network and build some of those relationships.
So take me back. Where are you from? How did Tommy McNeil become Tommy McNeil?
Well, I mean, I'm from the city of Chicago. Go Bears, go Bulls, go Sox, and Blackhawks. So, I come up in a primarily dominant African-American, Hispanic community. It wasn't a huge level of diversity, although we had some school teachers, in fact, of other ethnicities. Within that, it allowed me the interest of wanting to explore what else was out there. I felt like there was a bigger world that exists. The fortunate thing for me, as I went through school, I had a sibling who moved out to the state of Minnesota who encouraged me to come out here and open myself up to something different, which I was encouraged by, and I followed his lead as my older brother. And from that, you know, I met my wife and had kids. And my wife had already been in a corporate environment, so she was able to kind of share with me some of the lessons learned that she had over the years, and how, you know, I needed to understand a little bit more about how what one may consider a little politics that goes on within the organization ain't really politics in itself, but just a way to navigate through what one would see outside of the business realm. And when you get into that environment, the things that you have to do professionally in order for you to grow, meaning branding, you know, performance execution, relationship building, opening yourself up to challenge yourself to doing different things and getting outside of the box. And I had to learn that, you know, through some bumps and bruises along the way and some growing pains. But one of the things I've always prided myself on, coming out of an environment where I really grew up in an environment where I didn't have much, is to, you know, I have everything to gain and really nothing to lose. I consider myself an optimist. I'm always positive, always smiling, always productive, doing something that's really benefiting either me, my professional team, and or my household. And that allowed me to grow. I have a spiritual faith and belief that continue to keep me grounded and humble. But I also have a personal belief in myself. And when I know that there's something that I don't know that I have the ability to do, I go off my instinct and, you know, I trust my judgment and those that are around me that's leading me in that direction to continue to grow. And that allowed me to take on 5 different positions within Comcast in the almost 8 years I've been here, overseeing 10 different channels in that process. And a lot of that I had to learn as I went. but it allowed me to mature professionally, and it put me in a position of where I'm at right now, looking for the next step. And with organizations like NAMIC, it allows me to continue to build on relationships and continue to leverage their development programs. And the people that's within the organization allow me to build relationships through them so that I can continue to grow as an individual.
So lastly, we have, over the next couple of months, we'll have elected positions available. So there's four elected positions, and then beyond that, there are chairs that are every bit as important to the organization as the elected positions. So this is your opportunity to make a sales pitch to our membership. Why should they want to get more involved with NAMIC and get into a chair position or an officer position?
You know, I'm really encouraged by those that are encouraged within themselves. If in fact that you, what I mean by that, if in fact that you have the interest, the thought, the motivation to aspire to do something different than what you're currently doing, really taking on a role. And regardless of what role that may be, it may be a role that you have an interest in wanting to learn. As a treasurer, you want to try to figure out how to operate finances and budgets, you know, how to effectively manage accounts, where you don't have that background, but you yet and still you want to learn something a little bit more about accounting. You know, there's an opportunity for you to take advantage of an organization like NAMIC and put yourself in a key position that you can learn that skill set that you might not be able to learn or go back to school and do right away. For talents that you currently have, you know, may it be in a form of communication. You know, if in fact that you feel like you're a good writer, you have some experience in communicating to a mass of individuals via social media, via, you know, old school paperback or electronically through email. Here's an opportunity for you to lend your hand into a communication role that would allow you to be able to utilize that where you may be not be able to use that in the current position that you're in right now. And then getting into more of a board status of a vice president and presidency. You know, if you feel like you're a great leader, you've had some experience in doing it, you feel like you can contribute to wanting to a worthy cause like NAMIC, who is out to not just from a Comcast perspective, this is a telco perspective, that you have an opportunity to touch not only people within the organization that you are in, but reach out to some other MSOs like Charter and MediaCom and MidContinental and SATCOM, as well as some others, to being able to bring forth a vision of diversity and inclusion. You have that ability. If you can lead people and you have the ability to influence, I highly encourage you to really take some ownership in your career, take some ownership in your development, and if you have something that you can offer others, please provide that, because NAMIC is definitely a great opportunity for you to land that too.
Thank you so much for your time, Tommy, and thanks for your continued involvement in NAMIC.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Thank you to my guest, Tommy McNeil, who is terrific. And thank you for listening to the NAMIC podcast. We'll be back next week interviewing some guests from our NAMIC cruise. We'll see you then.